been learning how it is that God wants us to live in these within the safety of these guardrails. We'll be looking at Exodus chapter 20 in just a moment, but let me begin with the question. Are there any workaholics in the house? You don't have to raise your hand. You know who you are. And if you don't know who you are, well, think about this. You live for Monday mornings. You go to the Panorama to get a stock tip in the sauna. You dread the day in spring when clocks are set forward, robbing you of an hour of work. Aren't you glad for our province that's gotten rid of the time change? You think an ulcer is a badge of honor. Listen, you know who you are. You can't help yourself. You're a workaholic and you're proud of it. I grew up in a home where both work and the Sabbath were honored and celebrated. My dad was a consummate workaholic. He lived to work. He worked hard to provide for his family, and it was a badge of honor for him to work as hard and as long as he could. The tragedy of his workaholism was that when he finally retired at 65 or 66, he had a heart attack about a week later. His body couldn't take the cold turkey experience of doing nothing. At the same time, where hard work was honored, the Sabbath was revered in my home. Does this sound familiar to you at all? Saturday night, your mom cooked food to be ready for Sunday dinner, or your family avoided cooking altogether by eating out after church. Speaking of church, Sunday began with Sunday school, followed by morning worship, then possibly Sunday afternoon choir practice, which then ended in Sunday night service. Sunday afternoons were generally reserved for quieter activities, reading, playing music, practicing the accordion, visiting grandparents or grandparents visiting you, and of course, absolutely no sports, no shopping, and no TV except for Lawrence Welk, Walt Disney, or Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. In fact, you were probably so busy on Sunday that you became anxious just thinking about resting. Almost 4,000 years ago, God gave us 10 commandments that we can use today to build strong lives and families. God intended that these would be values or guardrails, providing the basis for strong families and fulfilling lives. These guardrails provide you and me and our families protection and direction for our lives. One of the 10 guardrails that God has given was designed to free your time. God said long ago that to live a fulfilling life, build a strong family, and avoid burnout, you must follow His maintenance schedule. This is one of God's greatest gifts to us. Winston Churchill called it a divine and priceless institution, essentially the day of emancipation from the compulsion and strain of daily work. If the third commandment that we learned last week charges us to honor God with our words, then this fourth one calls us to honor God with our time. So read along with me in Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 8. Remember, in fact, let's stand together and give honor to the reading of His word. Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But He rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is the word of God. Father, I thank you for your word. Now I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would indeed open our eyes to see the way that you would have us go. Lord, open our ears to hear what you are saying to us personally and as a church. And Lord, may we be ready to receive all that you have to give us and to answer your call in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's just begin with a few observations about this fourth commandment. This is the first positive commandment. It's the only other command that's not stated negatively, other than the fifth one, honor your father and mother, that Pastor Sue is going to be preaching next week. By the way, ladies, it is Mother's Day next week, and we invite you to come. We want to celebrate not just the moms, but all of our sisters here at Highway Christian Fellowship. So we want to encourage you to come out next Sunday morning. Not only is it the first positive command, it's the first vertical command. The first four of these guardrails have to do vertically with our relationship with God, and the final six deal with our relationships horizontally as we live with one another, in our families, in the church, at work, and in our communities. This is the longest of the Ten Commandments. According to my count, this command has 98 words. The final five commandments altogether take up just 53. God has almost twice as much to say about remembering the Sabbath day than he does about murder, theft, adultery, lying, or coveting, all combined. This commandment is mentioned in the Old Testament more than any other, with over 100 references showing us how important this is to God the Father. This commandment is difficult to interpret and has become very controversial. More has been written and debated about this command than perhaps any of the others. In fact, whole denominations have split into separate groups because they couldn't decide when and how the Sabbath would be celebrated. This is the only one of the Ten Commandments not specifically quoted in the New Testament. Oh yes, it's referred to, especially as the Pharisees, the religious leaders, criticized Jesus and the disciples, but the command itself is not specifically verbalized. Finally, this command meant a lot to Israel. Think about it. Think about how it would have felt to these people who had just spent 400 years of their lives working as slaves with no days off, and now God says, 1 in 7, it's my gift to you. In fact, here's the big idea I want us to hear today. Sabbath is designed to be a gift, not a grind. Say that with me. Sabbath is designed to be a gift, not a grind. Okay, say it again. Sabbath is designed to be a, not a, what is it designed to be? What is it not? Okay, so why does God make such a big deal about Sabbath in the first place? Well, we live in a society that puts a very high value on work, and rightly so. Chuck Swindoll once said that we have become a generation of people who worship our work, who work at our play, and who play at our worship. And as enlightened 21st century North Americans, we think we know how to rest. In fact, Chuck Swindoll goes on to write, it has been suggested that we spend more on recreation each year than we do on education, construction of new homes, or national defense. Now let me ask you a question. Just think about this. How many people do you know who are truly rested? How many people have found the right balance between worship, work, and rest in their lives? The fourth commandment is all about restoring the proper balance between these three, worship, work, and rest. And so it's a commandment that we greatly need today. Amen? God gave the Sabbath to bless us, not to burden us. It's designed to be a gift, not a grind. Well, let's begin looking at some terms that Moses uses, that God speaks through Moses to the people. First of all, there's the word remember. It's a word that means to recall or bring to mind or even to observe. Secondly, you have the term Sabbath day. The word translated Sabbath does not mean seventh or seventh, as many have come to believe. It literally means a day of ceasing or a day of resting. Then you have the word holy. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. The word translated holy means to be set apart, dedicated, or consecrated for a holy purpose. In the Old Testament, in the Bible, God's nation Israel was called his holy nation, his people, set apart to God. The priests in the Old Testament were set apart to God for a specific purpose of leading the nation in sacrifice and worship. Kings would later be set apart by God to serve by ruling the people and governing in justice. To be holy means to be set apart. The items in the tabernacle and temple were said to be holy, set apart for God's specific use. And here, right at the beginning, as they sojourn towards the promised land, God says to Israel, he says to his people, I am giving you one day among seven that is going to be sacred, set apart, and you're called to honor me on that day. And then you have the words work and labor. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Now, understand something. God commends In fact, he condemns laziness and slothfulness. But he commends work. But work that is balanced between worship and rest. In fact, the word labor here, listen to this. The word labor actually means to serve. It's not just labor of, oh, I got to get up on Monday morning and I got to go to the office. I got to go to school. I got to do this. No, no. Understand something. The word labor, its root meaning means to serve. When we are going to our careers, to our work, wherever it is, we are or working in our garden, we are called first to serve. Then work is something that means it refers specifically to your occupation or business. It refers to what you are working at, what you're laboring at. You are serving by what you are doing. Sixth, you have the word rest. In 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. Here God goes right back to the very beginning of creation and says, this is not a new thing that I am giving you. I have modeled this for you from the very moment of creation. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. And again, the word rest means to settle down and be quiet. Lion Duncan calls it the stop working day. The word here, rest, in the Hebrew means to settle down and be quiet. Or you could say, God is reminding his people to take a breath. And hence the title of my message, to take a breath. And then finally, you have the word blessed. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. In context, this means that God gave his special favor to the Sabbath over all the other days of the week. The Sabbath day was set apart by God in a special way as compared to other days of the week. But it's also important to be reminded that even before God gave this command, the Israelites already knew about the Sabbath. Did you realize that? In fact, we read in Exodus 16, 4 chapters earlier, that when God gave the Israelites manna to eat in the desert, he instructed them to gather twice what they needed on the sixth day so they would not have to gather on the seventh. I've always wondered if that's why my mom and my grandma always cooked on Saturday night to be ready for Sunday. I don't know. He instructed them to gather twice as much as they would need as on the Sabbath. So on the seventh, Moses said to the Israelites, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord." So God gave it to Israel, gave it to his people by modeling it. He then reminds his people, before the law is given, there is one day that would be set apart as holy. But then, 40 years later, after the Mount Sinai experience, after God had given this command, Moses speaks to a new generation before they were to set foot into the promised land. God repeats the command in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12, to observe the Sabbath day. Well, what was his purpose? What is the Sabbath to be for? Well, as I mentioned, God says it is a day to remember. The word remember here, as I said, means to recall, to mark, to set aside. In the Hebrew, remembering is not just recalling something, but it implies a change of behavior for our lives, or so that our lives line up with what we've been reminded of. We're to ponder and then to put into practice what God has spoken. Well, what is it that God is calling us to remember? He calls his people to remember, number one, rest. The Sabbath was meant to be a time of rest and refreshment. Exodus 23:12, 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the slave born in your household and the alien as well may be refreshed. This was to be shared. This day of blessing was to be shared with everyone that was within the borders of Israel. Whether they were Hebrew or not, they were called not out of duty, not to be a burden, but it was to be an opportunity to enjoy the blessing that God had given to the people so that they would be refreshed in their bodies, in their spirits, so they could continue to do God's will and purpose for them. Then they were to remember their roots. Remembering the Sabbath was a sign that the Israelites belonged to God. God said to Moses in Exodus 31:13, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy." Then in Ezekiel 20, verse 20, God says again to Israel, "Keep my Sabbaths holy, that they may be a sign between us. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." Have you ever thought that the Sabbath was the sign of his covenant with his people? I'll get to more of that in just a moment. But as they were to remember their roots, to rest, they were to remember to revere and worship. The Sabbath was set aside as a special day for public worship. Leviticus 23:3 says, "The seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly." This was to be a special day for the people of God to assemble for public worship. In Moses' day, it was at the tabernacle. In Solomon's day, it was at the temple. In Jesus' day, it was at the temple and in the synagogues that were spread throughout Judea. But they were to take this day and they were to come and worship. It was a special day as they would come and assemble publicly. Fourthly, they were to remember to rely. The Sabbath was a way to show your trust in God's provision. When God first gave the Israelites manna in the wilderness, Moses reminded the people, "Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days." Keeping the Sabbath is a sign of trust that God will provide for your needs and that we do not have to worry where our provision is going to come from. fifthly, we are to remember God's redemption. Sabbath day was a reminder of God's redemption. As we read in Deuteronomy chapter 5, 15, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath. Every time they would gather, they would remember their deliverance and salvation out of slavery in Egypt, how God had set them free to fulfill their purpose in a new land, a promised land, a blessed land. It was a sign to them, reminding them of God's redemption. God wants us to rest so we can be refreshed. Sabbath is designed to be a gift and not a grind. Well, how did Jesus celebrate the Sabbath? I think it's really important for us because there are some who would suggest, well, that was the Old Testament, that was the law, we are in the New Testament. Well, let's see how Jesus fulfilled this covenant. In Luke chapter 4, 16, is just one verse that tells us how Jesus gathered for public worship one day a week. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, underline that, circle it, put asterisks beside it, as was his custom. He went to the synagogue when? On the Sabbath, and he stood up to read. Now, by Jesus' day, they had been under the rulership of Rome, and they were given, everyone in the empire was given the Roman calendar to follow. It would have fallen on what we would call Saturday. And I'm going to ask those who know Hebrew better to shout out what the Hebrew day of that day was. Do you know what the Hebrew name for Sabbath was? Moed. Yes. Oh, you got to say that again. That's awesome. Okay, say that again.
It's Moed.
And that's translated Shabbat?
Well, it means divine appointment.
Divine appointment.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Oh boy, I'm getting another sermon in mind. But not for today. But thank you, Bev. Everyone give Bev a great, great round of applause there. But Jesus gathered for public worship once a week, as was his custom. And if it was customary for Jesus to regularly gather for weekly worship, how much more should we, as God's new covenant people, make priority to come together to worship Jesus? He healed on the Sabbath. A case could be made Jesus intentionally healed people on the Sabbath because he did on six occasions to basically rile up the religious leaders. Religious leaders, it's fascinating how the religious leaders, they followed 39 Sabbath clarifications, with each having multiple subdivisions for a total of more than 1,500 prohibitions. For instance, you couldn't kill a flea which landed on your arm because you would be guilty of hunting on the Sabbath. If a man's ox fell into the ditch, he could pull it out, but if a man fell in, he had to stay there. You could dip your radish. You could dip your radish in salt, but if you left it there too long, you were pickling it, and so you were working. Yet Jesus healed on the Sabbath, declaring in Matthew 12, verse 12, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And then he proclaimed himself as Lord of the Sabbath. One time, Jesus and his disciples were walking through some grain fields on the Sabbath, and the disciples picked the heads of grain and began to eat it. And the Pharisees, they quickly took Jesus to task. How dare you take corn and eat it on the Sabbath? You remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? I love Jesus' answer. Matthew 12:6-8, I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known that this desire, what it means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is sovereign over the Sabbath. He owns it, and he frees us to do acts of mercy for others as we live on mission for his glory. Jesus taught that the Sabbath was for our benefit. In Mark 2:27, Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Now, there are two opposite mistakes, extremes, that people make when it comes to Sabbath. In fact, I'm going to say there are possibly three. One mistake is to break the Sabbath by just having a business as usual attitude, not doing anything different than any other day of the week. But the other mistake is making such a legalistic attitude towards the Sabbath that it becomes more of a burden than anything else. And this was the problem in Jesus' day. The Pharisees had added all sorts of rules and regulations concerning the Sabbath that made the day a burden and not a blessing. You know what happens when we turn the Sabbath into a burden? We try to find loopholes. Do you know anyone who tries to find loopholes from observing the Sabbath? I read this story I found fascinating. In 1890, the town of Evanston, Illinois, passed a law forbidding the sale of ice cream sodas on Sunday. One creative businessman got around this by selling ice cream with chocolate sauce instead of mixing it with soda water. This new dessert became so popular, people began asking for a sundae. When some objected to a dessert being named after the Lord's Day, they changed the spelling to Sunday, S-U-N-D-A-E. The next time you go to DQ or Scoop and Waffle, you remember how this all began. It was never God's intention for Sabbath to be a burden, but rather a delight. It was not to be a duty. It was meant to be a blessing to us. Jesus didn't get all hung up with legalistic rules of his day. He used the Sabbath for worshiping God, for resting from work, and for doing good. And he encouraged his disciples to do the same. Because the Sabbath is meant to be a blessing, not a burden. It's designed to be a gift, not a grind. So, Pastor, when should we be worshiping in the first place? Is Sabbath Saturday? Is it Sunday? Well, that gets me to the third extreme that I mentioned a moment ago. There are those who do make a point. Saturday is the Sabbath. It hasn't changed. It remains the same. And if you go to Israel or any synagogue or even any messianic congregation, you will see how they worship on Saturday, which has been the traditional Sabbath as God inclined it. But did you know that there are other fellowships that celebrate on Saturday? There's the Seventh-day Adventists, there are Seventh-day Baptists, and there are other smaller groups who hold that gathered worship should take place on Sabbath, which is Saturday and no other day. Then, there are those who would suggest, no, Jesus did away with the Sabbath, it's no longer Saturday, it is now Sunday. It's called the Sunday Sabbath view. And those who follow this perspective believe Sunday has replaced the Sabbath, so its rules and regulations should be followed. This perspective was promoted by the Puritans and is spelled out in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And then there's a third option. There's the weekend worship view. in this understanding, the celebration of our salvation culminates in a weekend worship celebration, just like we've been doing here. This gathering can take place any day of the week. In fact, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, we read that the early believers day by day attended the temple, and together they broke bread in their homes. Most, if not all, were Jewish. They continued to celebrate many of the feasts and recognize the Sabbath, but they also recognized what Jesus had done for them, and they began breaking bread in their homes every time they met. But understand this, in the New Testament, God does not give a stipulated day. So, why do we worship on Sunday? I am so glad you asked that. I'm going to tell you. The New Testament, as you read through it, would indicate to us that the early church voluntarily set aside Sunday as the Son's Day, S-O-N. And this was done for a couple reasons. Number one, as many in the beginning who were Hebrew at first, Jewish at first, they also wanted to be able to set themselves apart as followers of Jesus. And so they would also worship on the first day of the week. The first day of the week being our Sunday, which is the day that was celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. And so they would come together, quite possibly very early in the morning before they would go to work, or very late in the evening once they returned from work, and they would gather together, they would share communion, a meal, and worship, but they would meet on the Lord's Day. And that's why we call Sunday the Lord's Day. In fact, if you go through the New Testament, you will find several verses that talk about the Lord's Day. Acts 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week when we gather together to break bread. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, on the first day of the week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. Revelation 1 verse 10, I was in the Spirit when on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. You would say, Pastor, well, which day is the right day to worship? Well, the fact is, if we're all together, any day is the time to worship. But we come together as a church, universal, to come and celebrate the Lord's Day, the Lord's resurrection, that the Lord is alive. And I believe that Sunday, the Lord's Day, is the day when God would have us come together. But let's not be legalistic. We are commanded to come and gather, to worship, and to rest. The Lord's Day, Sunday, is when we come together to worship. But it's also a day to enjoy God and all that he has given us. So let me put this down in practical application. Try to do this as concise as I can this morning. The Sabbath is designed to be a gift, so let's keep it. How do we keep it? Number one, by resting your body. I don't know if anyone else is like this, but when I turned 40, I realized I wasn't 30 anymore. When I turned 50, oh gosh, I'm not 40 anymore. When I turned, well, you say it. I am not. Hey, you got to hear that. This is so funny. Sue has been meeting with several of the youth that have been part of our church and their parents, and just talking with them, hearing their hearts. And one of the youth said to Sue this week, Pastor Sue, you're not old, you're only 40. And she hasn't let me live that down. But listen, no matter how old you are, you need an opportunity to rest your body. Psalm 127:2 says, "It is useful for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones." We're to rest our body, secondly, to recharge our emotions. The Sabbath isn't a day to be glum and miserable. I don't know where the idea came when we're to come to church. "The joy of the Lord is my strength." No. We come together to rejoice in what God has done and what he's given and what he's doing in our lives. We have every reason as God's people to both play and to praise. It's a day to be recharged. It's a day for it to be emotionally healthy. Proverbs 14:30 says, "A relaxed attitude lengthens life." I didn't know that until this week. A relaxed attitude lengthens life. The Sabbath is God's gift to us to loosen our grip on worry, on fear, anxiety. It's a day to inhale God's holiness and goodness. We sang a song this morning, "This is the air I breathe." What helps us to recharge our emotions? Well, there's joyous worship. Thank you, Bev and team, for leading in that way this morning. It was awesome. We recharge our emotions with our spending time with our loved ones, enjoying great food after church, cherishing our kids and grandkids, loving on the needy, taking walks, riding a bike, unless, of course, you're like me and your bike chain fell off as I'm leaving the driveway, watching the sunset, go behind the mountains, browse through stacks at Chapters while sipping a latte, lighting some candles. What do you do to recharge your emotions? And then we need to refocus our spirit. The Sabbath isn't a day to do whatever we please. God said the seventh day is a day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. "Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy," oh, listen to this, "enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Lord in everything you do, and don't follow your own desires or talk idly. If you do this, the Lord will be your delight. I will give you great honor and give you full share of the inheritance I promised to Jacob, your ancestor. I, the Lord, have spoken." Team, if you would just begin coming back to the platform, I'm going to close with this story. Last week, we talked about how we can unknowingly worship idols in our life. Even good things can become idols when they take our focus off what is truly important. I mentioned earlier how in my home on Sunday there was no sports, no TV. In fact, no fun on Sunday at all. Oh, I found my ways around it. I found my loopholes. Mine became watching TV preachers on Sunday afternoon. I think you all have figured out after almost 11 years, I love preaching. I do. I love the research. I love the delivery. I love how God uses the Word of God through the preaching of God's Word. But there had arisen an idol in my life that I had never, ever considered. A number of years ago, when my children were very young, we were pastoring in the Kingston area, I think. And on Sunday afternoons, I would do what I often did. We would have lunch, first of all, in one of the local restaurants. And we would go home and we would Just relax. Do nothing. I would turn on the TV to some of my favorite preachers. Not thinking about what I was doing. And then something happened that changed my perspective forever. My oldest son, Philip, who is an avid sports fan and athlete, came downstairs to the family room carrying his basketball in his arm. He looked at me and asked me one question. Dad, why are you watching your job? Bam. It was like the Holy Spirit just hit me. Now, was there anything wrong with what I was doing? No, but I had allowed it to become an idol that was making me blind to what was going on around me. The Holy Spirit at that moment arrested me. I very quickly confessed and asked God to forgive me. I turned off the TV, and then Phil and I spent the rest of that afternoon playing basketball in the driveway. Sabbath is designed to be a gift, not a grind. Ask yourself these questions. Do you have one day a week in which you unplug in order to rest? What one decision will you make to get your calendar back in rhythm? What disciplines will you implement in order to revere God on one specific day, making gathering with God's people a first priority? Who can you share your redemption story with this week? What one activity will you stop doing, and what's one thing you'll start doing to demonstrate you're ready to rely on the Lord? Can I tell you one more story? Sue tells this one better because it really relates to her. A number of years ago, as she is studying and preparing for her ordination, every year we would go to a camp outside of Chilliwack. And all of the ordinands, the district ordinands, would be there with their families. And there was one speaker that was sharing with us his story of burnout. It really hit home to me because I've experienced it. I've been there. It almost ruined his marriage, almost destroyed his ministry, until God showed him this principle that Sabbath isn't a day only. It flows out of our relationship with Jesus. And so out of that, some people ask me, Pastor, you know, you work on Sunday. Some people say you work one day a week. Hey, I still get that after 45 years. Some people ask, Pastor, what do you do? It was out of that weekend that both Sue and I, we prayed and God put on our hearts, you know what? We have never really, truly had a Sabbath together. Oh, we've had days off. You usually end up me working. But we've never taken a Sabbath. So what we began doing is on Fridays, that would be our day together to honor God. Call it our day off. It's our Sabbath. Then Saturday becomes, well, it's, and if I need to get extra work done on my sermon, whatever, or that's what happens. But that's what God spoke to me. And then he gave me this passage, Hebrews 4. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. The Sabbath day, the Lord's day, God doesn't want it to be a burden. He wants it to be, he designed it to be a blessing. Not a grind, but his gift. And it flows as each day we honor him with our lives, with our work, and with our worship. Death,